evening, guys. I don't know about you, but my house is messy. Don't start laughing. It's not the messiest thing in the world, but it's certainly not what you would call pristine. There might be a pair of shoes that are left out that probably need to be put away. And there might be some dishes on the countertop from the night before. And the carpets probably need to be swept. It's those kind of things. Not terrible things, but, you know, messy. But when me and my wife find out that someone is coming over, we get into cleaning mode. Dishes are scrubbed, floors are swept, and all the shoes are put away. Though, if I'm being completely honest, it kind of depends on who's stopping by. For instance, if we have a couple friends coming over for dinner, it's probably not the end of the world if we've got a couple of shoes left out. But if my parents are stopping by, well, then we've got to get really serious. We've got to put the laundry away and clean the bathrooms, just make sure we put on a good face. So I don't even want to think about what we'd end up doing if we had somebody famous, like the Queen of England, stopping by. And we'd be on our hands and knees scrubbing between the tiles with a toothbrush. Because that's the way this stuff typically goes. You don't want people to see how messy you live when no one else is around, especially if they're important. And I'm not saying my wife is not important, but I don't tend to do a whole lot when she comes home, because she already knows how messy I live. Now, in our Advent passage for this evening, Isaiah says, to prepare a highway, fill in the valleys, knock down the mountains, make everything smooth. Someone important is coming. God is coming. Now, while on the surface, that sounds like some pretty exciting news, how would you feel if someone told you to get the house ready because God is stopping by? Somehow, I don't think that cleaning toilets and scrubbing between the spaces with the toothbrush and putting away the dishes is going to cut it. Because I'd imagine no matter what you end up doing, it's probably at the end of the day going to feel like it's not enough. I mean, after all, this is God coming to visit. I mean, he's used to living in heaven. I bet there's not dirty dishes left out overnight up there. But all the same, Isaiah says to tell the people of Israel, get ready. God is coming. Now, Israel had been making a mess. Things were not in order, not the way they're supposed to be. They've been worshiping other gods. They've been ignoring justice. There were even child sacrifices going on. Things were a mess. And eventually, God says, enough is enough, and kicks them out. You see, after years and years and years of warning these Israelites to change their ways, God brings in the Babylonians, a powerful empire from the east, to conquer the land of Israel and wipe the slate clean. All the cities the Israelites had built, gone. All the houses the Israelites used to live in, gone. All the fields they used to farm, all the places they used to work, even the temple where they used to meet God, all gone. They were in exile. The Babylonians had picked them up and deported them to the far ends of the empire, away from everything they ever knew, their friends, their home, and their God, all gone. Exiled. Now, we're not thousands of miles from home, but we're all separated in our own way, one way or another. Separated from where we want to be in life. You know, I should have stayed in school longer, then maybe I'd find somewhere better to work. Or I should have spoken up when I had the chance, and then I wouldn't have to have moved all the way out here. Or maybe we're separated from what we want to do. You know, I should have saved up more money, and then I could have retired by now. You know, or when I was younger, I should have taken that risk, and life would have been so much better. Or maybe just the opposite. I shouldn't have taken that risk, and life would have been so much better. And then, of course, we're separated from those around us. Oh, I shouldn't have called you that. I shouldn't have done that thing to you. And what we end up doing is we hurt others, and we hurt ourselves, and we make a mess of things. And really, what's all that's left is relationships broken, marriages rocked, and friends angry. We made a mess. Things are not in order, not the way they're supposed to be. And then, of course, there's God. And for as different as our lives are from those first Israelites Isaiah was talking to, we certainly have a whole lot in common with them. I mean, we push God away, we make our messes, and then we don't know what to do. We don't know how to clean it up. And so while it can be exciting news to hear that God is stopping by, it can make people like us a little bit nervous. After all, how are we supposed to prepare for something like that? How are we supposed to get ready? Well, Isaiah tells us to prepare a highway. Knock down the mountains, fill in the valleys, make everything smooth because someone important is coming. God is coming. Now, that makes us a bit nervous. Because how are we supposed to clean up? Why would God come to a people who had made such an enormous mess of things? The lives aren't cleaned up. The balances are not scaled. The scales are not balanced. And we're not up to heaven standards. So why would he come at all? Well, if you look at verse 5, you have the answer. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You see, God is coming because he said so. And that sounds a bit strange to us, that God decided to come to a people who were in a mess of their own making. But you see, the love of God is not dependent upon what people have done or can do or will do. In fact, the only person doing anything here is God. You see, we aren't climbing our way to heaven. We're not even building a little bit of heaven here on earth. No, we aren't doing anything. God is the one doing. God is coming to his people. Prepare a royal highway. The King of Kings is near. Now that can make people like us, people in a mess, a little bit scared. After all, how are we possibly to prepare for someone like the King of Kings to come by? Let alone prepare a royal highway. How are we supposed to build something like that? But you see, it's not the builders that make a highway royal. It's the king who travels on the highway that makes it royal. You see, it's the king that turns a dirty manger where animals eat, into a royal bed. You see, it's the king that turns a group of illiterate shepherds into royal heralds proclaiming that the king has arrived. It's the king that turns people trapped and the mess of their own making into the children of God. Jesus is the royal king that comes to you. And that's the message of Isaiah 40. That's the message of Advent. It's us preparing for the arrival of the king, not by climbing our way to heaven, and not by bringing a little bit of heaven down here into our messy world. It's not even by scrubbing those spaces between the tiles with a toothbrush. During this Advent season, we prepare for God's coming by watching, by waiting for Jesus, the King, to come to us. Dear friends, please pray with me about that. Dear Lord our Father, stir up our hearts to prepare a way that leads to the Christ child. Lift up every valley, make low every mountain, level the ground and smooth the rough places of our lives. Make us one people whose life together is a straight way for all people to see your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.